It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Carrie Kaufman. Randi Zuckerberg has had an exciting life. She is a tech executive, actor, radio host, and now author of a book about how to arrange your life so you can commit the time to what's important. We're glad she has committed time to us this morning. She's joining us from New York. Welcome, Randi.
Thanks. It's great to be here and definitely picking you guys this morning.
Yay! We are also taking your calls if you would like some advice on how to arrange your life. 800-642-1234 is the number. Ideas@WPR.org is the email, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. So it's the name of the book. Tell us what you mean when you say pick three.
No, I think we live in this increasing culture of multitasking. We have our phones, so our work comes home with us. Our families, our friends, our lives are bleeding into one another in every area.
Right.
And we're celebrating being busy. We're celebrating being exhausted. And I don't know about you, but when I look back on the things that I have felt most successful, most happy about, it's been the times when I've given myself the permission to prioritize and not feel at all guilty about the things I didn't choose.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to encourage people to adopt this lifestyle where we stop doing as much multitasking and focus on being great at a few things at a time.
Okay, so what are the five elements that you put out there to pick from?
The five main categories that I write about in the book are work, sleep, family, friends, and fitness. Pick three. That doesn't mean pick three and only stick with those three for your entire life.
Right.
It means that in a 24-hour period, you can really only do three things well. And tomorrow is a new chance to pick a different three. The weekend, 3 months from now, just don't spend time feeling guilty or, you know, beating yourself up about the things you're not able to pick.
So two things strike me. One is, where does food fit in that? Is that fitness? Is that family, friends? We have to eat.
Yes, we do have to eat. And, you know, I think different people eat for different reasons. So that's why, you know, the categories, I purposely made them broad for different reasons. You know, sometimes you might be social eating, and that might be with friends. Sometimes, you know, a lot of us come January are, you know, doing a very hyper focus on our fitness and our health. We're doing the Whole 30 or paleo or one of these things.
Right.
It might fit into fitness there. So I think, you know, the categories can definitely be morphed to work for you, but I would say that most of us probably have about five main categories in our lives that we're trying to juggle at one time.
So you said the word guilty, and I immediately thought of the word motherhood, especially single mothers out there who often feel like, oh, I can't go work out. Oh, I can't go to yoga. I can't do something, take that cooking class, do something that takes care of myself because I will feel guilty because I'm not with my kids. Or it might cost something to actually get a babysitter to go with your kids. What do you tell people who give you those kinds of excuses about how they need to actually diversify what they do?
Yep. I think you raised some great points here. And actually, that's why for the book, I interviewed over 50 people across the book who are in every age, life phase, type of career, or stepped away from their career, socioeconomic status, because I really wanted to understand, is this concept of picking what you want to prioritize, is this a concept for a certain kind of person with socioeconomic status?
Mm-hmm.
Does this really apply to everyone? And I think the points you raise are, first of all, mothers who I spoke to, definitely every single one across the board talks about managing this guilt of feeling like, you know, if you have other things that you want to prioritize besides your children, you feel guilty or you feel like you're a bad mom. Women who I interviewed would lean in almost hushed if they wanted to admit to me that they love their career and they want to prioritize it.
Right.
And so I think, you know, that's definitely a cultural stigma that we have to work on, because as women, you know, we invest a lot of time in our education and our careers and ourselves, and I don't know why it has become so taboo to admit that. The other great point that you raised is around socioeconomic status. I think a lot of us, we have these visions of what we want to do in our life, what we want to pick, and then life happens to us. Lose a job, we are dealing with sickness or death in the family. In those cases, I think that's actually when you're treading water, when prioritizing and removing the guilt is even more important, because you're in survival mode. You have to pick what's essential to your life at that point.
You have to ground yourself, essentially.
Exactly.
Before we go any further, I know there are some people out there who really are thinking, I don't have to pick three. I can do it all. I can do all this stuff. What do you say to them?
Totally. And that's actually, it's funny to see people's faces when they pick up the book, because everyone's first reaction is, no. I can do all five. I'm the one who can have it all. And then you slowly start to see the realization that, you know, oh, wait, maybe not everyone can have it all every single day. I think, of course, we can all, each one of us can have a superhero kind of week where we're able to pick four or five in a day. But that's not a long-term strategy for life. You're going to quickly burn out. You're going to quickly see that you're not really doing anything to the best of your potential. If you're doing everything in your life at kind of, you know, 30, 40%, there's someone else out there who's doing it at 110%, and you're quickly going to find that you're not living up in any of those areas. So I think, you know, that kind of ruthless prioritization can be very difficult and challenging to commit ourselves to, but very important.
So let's get personal here for a moment. You wrote this book. Something motivated you to write this book. What was it?
Yes, I had a moment a few years ago where I changed almost everything in my life at once. I moved, I started my own company, I had a baby, I had all these huge life changes, and I felt I was so excited. At the same time, I felt like I was drowning in just everything that I had to do. And I think that the real catalyst, I was sitting on a panel at a tech conference, of course, the only woman on an all-male tech panel.
Interesting, yes.
It's very unfortunately way too commonplace. And of course, I was the only one on the panel that got asked how I balance it all, because apparently that's only a question for women.
Right.
And and I just sort of lost it. I was like, no one balances it all. And I went home and I tweeted out the entrepreneur's dilemma. Work, sleep, family, friends, fitness, pick three. And it just really started to resonate with people. I heard from everyone. And over time, I've really morphed that philosophy, because here we are in a time in America when more than 50% of people are freelance and work for themselves. Everyone is an entrepreneur.
Right.
So I've had to change it over time to be more applicable to everyone.
You call this ruthless prioritization. Why do you use the word ruthless? And are people kind of afraid of that?
Well, I think a lot of us have difficulty saying no. I think.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Okay, I hear you admitting it. I know for me, that's one of my biggest things that I am working on, is that I want to do everything. I want to please people around me. I want to show up for the people in my life. So I'm really working on saying no more and getting comfortable with it. And so that's why I use the word ruthless prioritization, because it can be very, very difficult to turn down a friend, or it can be very difficult to, you know, say to your child, like, I really have to work right now. I really have to do this. But I think having that kind of intention of what we want to do is incredibly important.
I also think that if you say that to your child, I'm sorry, I have to work out now. I'm sorry, I have to work. I have to make this phone call. And the child sort of learns boundaries also, and learns how to take care of him or herself in that way.
Exactly. I found my sons have gotten very creative about figuring out how they can kind of tag along. So, you know, on the weekends, I love to go for a jog. Now my 7-year-old gets on his scooter and joins me.
Like, there you go.
That's the thing that mom does. And so if he wants to hang out with mom, like, he's going to come along. And it's a great time that we end up having together. So I think you're absolutely right. If you verbalize what your priorities are and your dreams, I think you'll be pleasantly surprised that the people in your life help hold you accountable.
We are talking to Randi Zuckerberg. She's written a book called Pick Three. She says there are five elements in your life: work, fitness, family, friends, and sleep. And you cannot do all of them at once. You have to pick three every single day and then kind of trade them out. We actually tweeted. We asked our Twitter followers to which three they would pick right now. And Tony tweeted, family, work, and sleep with a large exclamation point. What rises to the top of your list today? How do you keep life manageable when you're pulled in so many directions? You can call us 1-800-642-1234, or you can go to the ideas at WPR.org, or tweet us at WPR's at WPR's Twitter page. It's The Morning Show. It's The Morning Show. I'm Carrie Kaufman. We are talking to Randi Zuckerberg this morning. Randi wrote a book about being able to have it all by only having a set amount of time. Do you have questions for Randi? Do you have a three that you want to pick today, and maybe a different three that you want to pick tomorrow? 800-642-1234 is our number. Ideas at WPR.org is our email. WPR Mornings is our Twitter page. So, Randi, we left off with you telling us about your son's scooters while you jog. But you also talk about the fact that work is the hardest issue here when we're picking three. We tend to overwork, right?
Absolutely, especially in this country. And technology both helps and hurts that, right? Technology is the only way that I'm able to travel as much as I do and stay as plugged into my family. But on the other hand, I remember my first job out of college, I sat at a desk, and then I powered down my computer at the end of the day, went home, and was unreachable until 9 a.m. the next morning. And now, you know, in our palms, our whole lives travel everywhere with us. So it's very blurry. We don't have that separation anymore of work time, social time, personal time. Everything's intermingled, which means we all have to get a lot better at setting these priorities and boundaries for ourselves.
Do your kids yell at you when you're answering texts or emails?
Oh, totally. I have two boys, 7 and 3, and my 7-year-old will kind of, you know, make these comments to me like, "Mom, why are you on the phone right now? Your phone is the least important thing in your life." And I'm like, you know what, that is actually very profound for a 7-year-old, but right now my phone is very important to me. So it is hard. You immediately see that push and pull where your children start to feel like they're competing
right.
with your work, with your phone. And it's, you know, it's a very different world that we live in now than 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting. We talk about teens and technology and pulling our kids out of their phones. But in my family, it works the opposite direction as much as it works in that direction. They tell me, "Hey, Mom, pay attention to us. Are you looking at us? Are you listening to us?" So, yes, put that phone away. Darcy from Milwaukee has a question. Darcy, what are your three?
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. My three are definitely, like the person tweeted, sleep, family, and work. I'm a working mom. I also have two boys. One's 3 and 1 is 11 months.
Oh, wow.
So there's just no other way to do it. I have to get the sleep for my own health and to be productive at work and to be present for my kids. So those are the three I have to pick right now.
Thank you very much, Darcy. Actually, that brings up and another question, Randi. There are some times in your life where you just can't do more than what you do for an extended period of time.
That's exactly right. And you know what? Darcy actually raises a really good point, which is that there are pretty natural phases that we find ourselves in our life that, you know, of course, everyone's different. What everyone prioritizes is different. But I find, especially talking to a lot of women in their 30s, in their 40s, that they go for long periods of time putting friends on the back burner.
Right.
Because a lot of women these ages, you have your job, you have your family, and then that really leaves only one open slot to cycle through sleep, fitness, and friends, and sleep is kind of a necessity. So what I find is that a lot of women tend to feel a little isolated during this period of their lives because they aren't able to pick friends as much. And if I know I am that way, I am in that phase of my life right now, so I would definitely encourage women who are out there to see how you can intentionally try to prioritize friends every once in a while to make sure you're not missing out on, you know, networking opportunities, mentorship, and all of those great things that social connections bring.
Or just relaxing and laughing, because laughing is good for you.
Exactly. Laughter is great for you.
We are talking to Randi Zuckerberg about her new book, Pick Three, in which she advises people to pick three of five priorities in life in a 24-hour period, because you just can't do all five. We're taking your calls, 800-642-1234. We're taking your emails, ideas@WPR.org. And we are actually reading your tweets, WPR Mornings. Actually, Judy emailed us, and she wonders, where does cleaning the house fall? Oh, my God, that's a great question. Which category includes things like gardening? Does it depend, Randi, on the circumstances for how you categorize this, these different things?
Yes, I think it depends if you find those things to be fun or not.
Right. Where does cleaning – nobody finds cleaning the house fun. So where does this fall?
That's right. Cleaning, and it also depends if you consider it to be work or you consider it to be in support of your family. So I think, you know, that's how everyone needs to really think through their buckets their own way. But I'm right there with you, you know, that cleaning the house is definitely one of those things that I wish I could put on the bottom of the priority list every day.
Me too. And gardening, there are some people who actually are rejuvenated by gardening. That is taking care of yourself. I'm not one of those people. I love those people because I love having good gardens to look at. Barb in Blue Mound, welcome to the program. What are your three that you picked?
Thank you. I have a demanding job, and my kids are in college, and I've taken on the goal to write short fiction.
Wow.
And so I'm part of a very demanding, very satisfying group. But it's creativity that I'm wondering about, because many of them are retired or they don't have another career. And they advocate writing, you know, every day. And it just tends to put a lot of pressure on those of us that don't have really the luxury or the time or energy to write every single day. And yet I know that's how you grow. So it's hard for me to figure out how to write, not write, and not feel guilty.
Barb, you sort of went out there, but thank you for that question. That's actually a really good question. Randi, you write books, you act, you are a tech entrepreneur, and you are a mother. How do you find time for creativity?
Oh, gosh, that was a great question. I actually believe that creativity is one of the most important skills that any of us can possess. For some reason, they try to beat it out of us in school early on and just have us memorize things and study to test. Mm. But what I have found, at least in my life, is that if you want a job that's a little bit entrepreneurial, if you want to learn and grow as the world is changing, you have to be able to tap into that creative power. And creativity is a muscle. You do have to kind of work at it every day. I think the unfortunate thing that Barb was describing is that sometimes things that start off in the friends/fun bucket become work and move over to work. And that's, you know, that's when I think we really need to reassess how important something is in our life, when all of a sudden something that started out as fun now is feeling more and more like an obligation.
Barb, thank you for that phone call. About your work, you went from a tech executive, and you were on Broadway. What did you do on Broadway? And I'm assuming you trained for this, right? You at some point in your life, you wanted to be an actor, and then you were like, no, I will go this way and support my family.
Totally. It's, you know, a very natural progression to go from Silicon Valley to Broadway. You know, my dream, my whole childhood, my dream was to sing on Broadway. And then, you know, at some point in life, reality hits you and you realize, you know, oh, wow, that's a really tough life to be an actress. And I have some other skills, so maybe I should, you know, focus on those other skills instead. And, you know, working in technology was incredible. So luckily, you know, those kind of, you know, air quote fallback skills were, you know, took me on this incredible wild ride in life. But about 4 years ago, after I had put in 10 pretty grueling years in Silicon Valley, I got a call out of the blue from a Broadway musical, Rock of Ages, on Broadway. And they said, you know, Randy, we're looking for some new kind of guest stars to come into our show. We're looking for a social media tech personality.
Wow.
Do you want to come sing on Broadway? So there you go. For anyone who's listening out there who wants to know how you get to Broadway, learn how to code. That's how you get to Broadway.
Yes, learn how to code. Oh, that's perfect. That is actually really perfect. How long did you perform?
I did 30 performances in the show, which was an incredible experience. I was kind of like the second female lead, so the character actress, and it was an 80s rock musical. I got to scream, you know, a ton of 80s rock songs, like Hit Me With Your Best Shot and We're Not Gonna Take It. And I wish I could have been in the show longer, but I found out that same day that they offered me the part that I was pregnant with our second son.
So I want to talk about the Broadway a little bit. You know, it's fun. It is really fun. But doing theater, 8 shows a week like that is grueling. So how were you able to prioritize when you were doing that?
It was very difficult, especially because I was in the first trimester of being pregnant.
Right.
I was also just feeling ill the entire time, but you know, I was feeling ill, but at the same time I was like, this is a once in a life opportunity. I have to appreciate every minute of it. It was hard. My family was in California at the time. So my husband and I decided, of course I had to take this opportunity. This was my life dream. He stayed behind in California with our 2-year-old son at the time. And I went to New York by myself for a few months. So that was really difficult because that was almost a 3-month period where I wasn't choosing my family. I was just, you know, choosing to have this experience. So there was a lot of sacrifice. I have incredible respect for actors who do these shows, 8 shows a week for years.
And a lot of actors don't have kids because of that life.
That's right. A lot of them don't have kids. A lot of them live, you know, an hour or 2 hours away from where they're performing because they can't afford to live right in the city on an actor's salary.
That is true.
It really opened my eyes. I hope that everyone in life gets the opportunity to walk a mile in someone else's shoes like I did.
We are talking to Randy Zuckerberg, who has written a book called Pick 3. She says you can have it all. You can have the 5 things in life that are important, that she defines as important, but you cannot have them all at once. We are taking your calls, 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Mark from Plover, welcome to the program.
Good morning. I am an ordained minister, and I recently ended my parish ministry career because it was denying me access to my top 3 priorities.
Which is what?
Peace of mind, joy, and a connection to my higher power.
So, okay, now I've got to ask you, what it was it about being a minister that you would think that those things would be found in ministry? What was it that was denying you access to those things?
As the churches get smaller, and the membership of the congregations gets smaller, they get less healthy. And the people who I was serving were not always pleasant to be with.
Ah.
And I left. It ended. And I am so happy. We are restarting our life, and I have joy, I have peace, and I have a better connection to my higher power.
Mark, that is a really excellent point. Thank you for sharing that with us. Actually, that's something I might follow up on. Randy, sometimes people just need to change everything.
Absolutely. I actually interviewed several people for the book that had to just make complete life changes. I spoke to a woman who is a recovering addict, and she talked about how she had to cut off all of her friends and the people that she used to hang out with because they were just enabling very unhealthy behavior in her life. And she talked about how difficult that was to just kind of go, you know, immediately cut off everyone in her life and start again. I spoke to someone who was a spy who couldn't even tell their family and friends what they were working on and what they were doing.
I like that, actually.
Moving. So I really applaud. It's very courageous to reach a point in your life when you realize that the things that you thought were fulfilling you aren't, and to change everything. It can feel scary, and I really applaud people who have the courage to do what needs to be done.
So a lot of people have had bosses that don't particularly want them to pick anything else but work. What do you tell them? Do they need to change their lives? Can they negotiate with their boss? What advice do you give people who are going through this?
It's difficult because more and more people are going through this as the world is changing, as technology is changing what jobs look like. There's no such thing as a secure job anymore. Mm. You used to think, okay, you know, if I went to go work for an automotive company, or if I went to work here, I have a secure career. And that's just not the case anymore. I think all of us are going to face some kind of a loss or change in our career status over the course of our lives. So I think one of the things that I like to say a lot is that we should never get too comfortable. We have to make sure that we're always learning, that we're always keeping at least a little bit up to date on the latest trends and what's going on and following what's happening, so that if that happens in our lives, we have the resilience and the ability to kind of retrain ourselves and dive into something else.
We are talking to Randy Zuckerberg about her book, Pick Three, and we are taking your phone calls, 800-642-1234. Tom in Milwaukee, welcome to the program, Tom.
Good morning. It's kind of a follow-up on Mark's, but I would flip it around that the spirituality, connection to my higher power, worship, it would be a first and foremost. I mean, we're commanded to do that, put it first and foremost. And then for me, it would be family and then work.
So you would add spirituality to the list, so it would be pick three out of six rather than pick three out of five.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, I'm surprised it's not there.
Right.
It's the, you know, it's really the most important thing of all. And it could be any sort of spirituality. I'm not trying to you know, say anything specific, but, you know, we are commanded to put God first, or whatever your higher power is. So I just thought I'd share that.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. And you're right. It was related to the previous comment. Very interesting here. Randy, the importance of faith or spirituality in your life, where does that fit in?
Yes. I write about that a lot in the book. And I think there are two categories that it fits into. First of all, when I say fitness, I don't mean just that the only thing that applies to fitness is going to Gold's Gym and pumping iron. Mm-hmm. When I talk about fitness, I mean mental fitness, emotional fitness, stress level, spirituality, I think, fits in a very deep way there. Everything that's related to kind of keeping our bodies and our souls healthy. So I do talk a lot about spirituality in kind of the fitness category of the book. The other place I talk about it is that for a lot of people, their spiritual community is their family. Mm. People who maybe they've lost their loved ones, they don't have children, they lean on their church or their spiritual community as a de facto family. A lot of people might put it in that category. So I really appreciate you bringing that up because it is a very important part of many people's lives.
So family, everybody says family is the most important things in your life, but a lot of people end up shuffling it lower. How do we make sure that we are committed to our family and that they know it?
That's, I think, the toughest one because it's easy to say, okay, here are the people that are always around no matter what, so I can put them off. And family doesn't necessarily just apply to, you know, your own children, your own nuclear family. We all have relatives. We all have, you know, sometimes a family is your urban family, the people around you who behave like the family you choose. So, I think it's very, very important to, this is where we have to be intentional and we have to be mindful about our interactions with people. Sometimes a text message just isn't enough. Sometimes you really have to show up for the people in your lives when they need you.
We are talking to Randi Zuckerberg, who wrote a book called Pick Three. She tells us that we can have it all, but we need to pick three each day in order to give it our all. We are taking your phone calls when we come back, 800-642-1234. It's the Ideas Network, and you're listening to The Morning Show. We are talking to Randi Zuckerberg, who has written a book called Pick Three. She says there are five issues in your life, five things that you need to prioritize in your life, but you cannot prioritize them all. You have to pick three every day. Randi, your book, I'd like to, you talk about writing. You just actually talked before we went to break about relying on your family and your extended family and the chosen family. You write that it takes a village. Could you read a quick portion of your book for us?
Oh, sorry about that. I don't actually have it in front
okay,
of me.
Okay, fine.
I didn't realize that you were looking for me to read it. I apologize.
Oh, actually, I can read it. I've got it here, but I was hoping you could read it. But here, it says, sometimes when life throws us for a loop, we're tempted to throw on a superhero cape and solve everything ourselves. But whether it's the family you're born into, the family you've created, or the family of community, those around you are eager to help if you let them. If you let them is the key there. A lot of us don't particularly want to let people help us.
Yes, I think that's a real key. And thank you for jumping in and saving me there.
No, that's okay.
Clearly, I'm trying to pick too many things this morning, as you can see. So I need my own book.
There you go.
But yes, I think a lot of us we do want to believe that we can handle it ourselves. A lot of us are, you know, maybe we're too proud to ask for help. We don't want to feel like we owe anything to anyone. But I think part of being successful and smart at life is knowing what you don't know and knowing your limitations. And there's a lot of beautiful stories in the book about people who talk about how their friends have literally saved their lives.
Mm.
So I think leaning on our communities is something that all of us will need to do at some point.
So when did you have a moment in your life when you realized that you could not don that cape and handle it solo, that you needed your people?
Gosh, I mean, definitely when my first son was born, it was a very, very difficult delivery. I was very ill for a while afterwards. And I'm the kind of person, I like to do everything myself. I'm very proud. I don't like to ask for help. And it was really, I needed to get on the phone with my mom and kind of beg her to come and move in with us for a few weeks and help out, because I was just, I was too sick to even get out of bed and do anything. And that's a very, it's a very humbling feeling. You know, 6 weeks later, I left the house for the first time to walk to Starbucks and barely make it there. And it's very humbling to really need to rely on people around you. But it also shows you how many people in your life are willing to show up for you. And I think it'll surprise you.
So one of the things you say in your book is that it's okay to feel lopsided. I was interested in that choice of words. Why do you say it's okay to feel lopsided?
I think we put too much emphasis on the word balance and being well balanced. Ah. I don't know about you, but if I had to rattle off kind of the three or four things I'm most proud of in my life, none of those things happened when I was well balanced. They all happened when I gave myself the permission to go deep and prioritize. So I like to say that instead of aiming to be well balanced, we should all be aiming to be well lopsided. You know, not too lopsided that we're neglecting big things in our lives, but lopsided enough that we are really giving ourselves the permission to go deep and be successful.
I'm visualizing somebody sort of like going from one side to another as they're kind of walking down the street. Sometimes you're leaning to the left, sometimes you're leaning to the right, sometimes you're bopping.
That's exactly right. And we have different times in our lives to be lopsided in different areas. So the hope is that everything balances out over the long run. In the long run of your life, you are well balanced. But at any given moment in time, we're naturally going to be prioritizing some areas of our life over others.
We are talking to Randi Zuckerberg, whose new book is called Pick Three. She tells us that there are five important areas of our life, and she defined these areas pretty broadly. But you can't do all five of them at once. You have to only pick three at a time. 1-800-642-1234 if you want to ask Randi a question or give your comment. Ideas@WPR.org is our email, or you could tweet us at WPR Mornings. We talked a little bit about the importance of sleep, especially when you're a new mother, as the caller was earlier today. It's a basic necessity, but sometimes it really is the first thing to go when we have competing priorities. What do we do just to calm ourselves down so that we can sleep?
Sleep is one of those funny ones, because at first I didn't even want to include it. I thought, well, it's something we all have to do anyway. Why do I need to write it in as a category? And then I quickly realized through research and talking to people that we all know we need to sleep, but nobody gets enough of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's when you speak to sleep researchers, it's really crazy to realize that even the impact of just a few minutes of sleep every night increases your rate of cancer and heart disease. On daylight savings, the day that the clocks push back, heart disease drops in this country.
Wow.
So it's very interesting to see that. But we all know that, and none of us get enough sleep. So that's why I had to put it in as something that we have to work to prioritize and make intentional in our lives.
So you are a tech person, and one of the reasons I think that a lot of people don't get sleep, me in particular, is because I'm up with my phone in my hand. I'm up with my iPad in my hand. That light is coming at me, and I'm being stimulated through the world, through my interactions with my friends. It could be a good thing, but then I can't fall asleep. So, do you advise people to just kind of put down the electronics at some point?
I think so. I spoke to Arianna Huffington for this book, and she advised people to put their devices to bed in a different room so that you don't have that temptation or that distraction. I know for me, I use my phone as an alarm clock. And
yeah, me too.
So that would be very difficult to put my device in another room. I guess I could go old school with an old school alarm clock. But I do think there is a point at the night that you do have to be mindful about shutting down your devices, making sure you're putting yourself in a good headspace in order to be able to fall asleep, making sure your room is the right temperature. There's a lot of a lot of things you can do. And a lot of researchers advise having some kind of a ritual at the end of every day that you kind of train your body and your mind, okay, when I start to do these things, sleep is the next thing that's going to happen.
Arianna Huffington also wrote a book on the importance of nap-taking.
Yes. She, it's a really interesting story because she was, you know, self-described workaholic, working around the clock, and then she collapsed out of exhaustion, and it was this huge wake-up call in her life where, you know, for years she hadn't been getting enough sleep, and she started researching and studying the importance of sleep, and now she goes around the country giving lectures and workshops to corporations about how to encourage their employees to sleep. That being said, I do also live in the real world where, you know, we have young children. Sometimes, you know, someone wakes up in the middle of the night. You just can't get sleep, even if you pick it. And so I also tried to include in the book several tips for how to be a functional human after you haven't slept for a night or two.
Okay, tell me what those tips are.
All right, well, some of them are fun and some of them are not fun.
Okay.
I think the biggest, one of the ones that I've heard, and I talked to a surgeon who does organ transplant surgery on children.
Wow.
So his career is literally life or death. Like if he's in bed in the middle of the night and he gets a call that there's a child in need of a heart transplant and a heart has come available, you know, it doesn't matter how sleep deprived he is, he's going to get up and he's going to do that to save that life. So he said, you know, one of the best things you could do is take, you know, like a 1 or 2 minute ice cold shower, which is not fun, but immediately wakes you up. He talked about doing, you know, 5 minutes of exercises like jumping jacks or a plank or something to just move your body. And then he also said it's very important to not sit down. Keep your body in motion because, you know, as soon as you kind of let yourself relax, you feel how exhausted you are. But as long as you stay in motion, you're going to be okay for a while.
That's really kind of fascinating. We are talking to Randi Zuckerberg about her book, Pick Three. She says you can have it all in your life. You just have to pick three at a time. We're also taking your phone calls, 800-642-1234. Do you think you can have it all? Is it easy for you to juggle and prioritize? Are you overwhelmed with a need to keep all the balls in the air? And do these balls sometimes bury you? 800-642-1234. Randi, fitness levels. You just talked about the doctor who says keep moving, do a plank, do some exercise. That is the one thing. You talked about friends kind of being low priority. I kind of see fitness as being a lower priority in many people.
Absolutely, I think, and it's interesting. There's some sleep. If you don't get it for a few nights, it will choose you. Like it will not let
yes.
you go. You know, you will feel the effects immediately. But a lot of the other categories of our life, you could unfortunately go for years before you really feel the downside of not picking them.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think that's why it's so important for each of us to, you know, I document every night the three things I chose and what I want to choose so that I can go back over time and look at what I've chosen. I think we really all need to hold ourselves accountable. If you find that you are not picking fitness for weeks and weeks and weeks on end, it's really time to start thinking about how you can start putting it into your schedule in a mindful way.
What are the three things you picked this morning?
Gosh, well,
talking to us,
I'm heading out on a work trip. So definitely work, and I'm here with you, which is great. I'm headed right after this to my son's school. They're putting on a little farmer's market, his school, so I'm picking family, and hopefully I'll get some sleep on the airplane because definitely I'm not getting much of it at home these days. So I'd say those are sleep, work, and family.
Sleep, work, and family is, I think, what most people pick. You write in the book not just about importance of having friends around you, but importance of being a good friend yourself. Why do you offer that?
I think a lot of us, we think about our friends and, you know, what they're doing for us, what they're not doing for us. But again, like all difficult things in life, it's important to shine that mirror on yourself, to hold yourself accountable, to look at the things that you're prioritizing. You know, if you feel like your friends aren't there for you, it's time to shine that light and say, well, are you really there for them? Are you prioritizing them? Those can be, I think, the most difficult conversations are the ones we have with ourselves. But it's very, very important to make sure that you are being a good friend so that when you do need that community to rally around you, that they're there to support you.
So there's a mindfulness in this. Should I be picking my three when I go to bed? Should I be picking it when I get up in the morning? Does my schedule dictate these kinds of things? How do you advise people to kind of to make this part of their day, to integrate this?
So, yes to all of those things. I think it is important to be as mindful as an intentional as you can be. So I think, you know, in an ideal world, we'd kind of look at our week ahead and we'd pick our three and we'd look at what's happening. That, okay, of course, then we actually go into our week and we have a sick child,
right,
and an emergency happens at work and this happens and our best laid plans are suddenly scattered. So I think it's important to be intentional, but it's also important to be resilient, to be able to change which of our pick three we're prioritizing on the fly, not feel so committed to it. But I think if we have a basic overview of how our week or how our month is going to look, that allows ourselves the resiliency of changing on a day here, a day there without feeling guilty.
Randi Zuckerberg, you also have mentioned that you are a woman in tech and that there are issues with women in tech. That's got to have an effect on your fitness, on your mental fitness, when you're constantly kind of pushing against things.
Absolutely. I think especially for any women out there who are in a male-dominated industry, there's this pressure. You feel like you need to be twice as good, mm-hmm, to get half as noticed. And it can be very easy to let everything else in your life fall by the wayside because you feel like work just has to be all three of your pick three in order to, you know, succeed and survive in a male-dominated world. And that I was that way for a while when I was working at tech in Silicon Valley. I was very heads down. I was working all the time. But what interestingly happened is I realized over time that the things that made me unique and different, those hobbies I had, those relationships that I had, actually turned out to be my biggest competitive advantages in business.
Yeah.
So if you are finding yourself in one of those heads-down work situations, I would maybe take that as an opportunity to take stock and say, okay, what is it about me that I can cultivate and grow on the side that makes me so unique and such a force?
You know, I would like to do a Women in Tech show in the future. I would love to have you back on for that, since that is actually your work right now.
Thank you. Yes, I work a lot in I work with a lot of female entrepreneurs. I invest. I do a lot of work around children, especially getting girls excited about technology. So that's a huge passion for mine. I'd love to see the next billion-dollar tech companies all started by women.
Randi Zuckerberg thinks you can have it all. Thank you for being with us today, Randi.
Thank you for having me.
It's The Morning Show.